Okay, I have finally come to the conclusion that trying to do all this stuff by yourself sucks. I have to say that. Unfortunately, well, I shouldn't say unfortunately. Fortunately, this is Ghostly Talk. I'm Scott L.
And I am Keith.
Yes, and that does not sound familiar. I know that. I know that. I really do. Because what happened was Doug and Will are MIA right now. They're not actually MIA. They're more or less, one's on vacation, the other one's doing family stuff. I'm not going to tell you who's doing what. Don't really matter. So, you know, things like this happen sometimes. So, hey, they get the day off. I'm working. But fortunately, one of our field reporters here for our wonderful state that we live in, Michigan, decided, well, he agreed that he'd like to come on the show and hang out. So I want to introduce, and you've been on the show before a couple of times, Keith.
Correct.
I want to introduce Keith to our listening audience. He's going to be our very special guest host type thingy or something like that. Is that what it is?
Technically, I guess. I don't know if I'm very special, maybe in the helmet-wearing way, but...
So we have a ton of stuff going on here. Now, the first half an hour, we kind of had stuff just kind of up in the air for the first half an hour. There's a few things I want to knock out of the way first, though. First of all, we got two new affiliates this week that are rebroadcasting us, and I just wanted to say hello to these guys. The first group is the Bazoo Homegrown Radio Network Group. Hi, it's really nice to have you guys doing our, you know, broadcasting this thing we do here called Ghostly Talk. Also, Surge 96.3 FM, who's beginning the rebroadcast us also. Thank you. Along with all of our other buddies, Pioneer Radio, OmniSound Radio 1 Network. Thank you so much. Jeff is so great to us. He's the man. Radio New York International, KWTF The Edge, our buddies over at the Classic Metal Show. Hi, everybody. KJO 97.3, home of the hits. You guys can use that if you want. Riff Raff Radio, The Point 99.1 FM, my favorite, The Butt Broadcasting Group. ADD Underground, our buddies over at ADD Underground, and the wonderful ladies over at... over at Catnip Radio. Those are the people we know who are rebroadcasting. It's like we say every week, if you're rebroadcasting Ghostly Talk, please, please, please let us know so we can acknowledge you on our website and pretty much, you know, hopefully bring some people over to your site and check out your stuff too. That's really important to us. Another thing I wanted to throw out real quick also, not this thing. I grabbed the wrong notes. Well, I can say that I can do this by memory, I think. May 14th and 15th. There is a big, it's called the CPRI Paranormal Conference, and we're going to be there, actually. We've actually had Bobby Atristain on the show, who's one of the people from CPRI, the Center for Paranormal Research Incorporated, and they're putting on this big conference May 14th and 15th. We're going to be down there speaking. The guys from TAPS are going to be there. Our buddy John Zaffis is going to be there. A bunch of people are going to be down there. I grabbed the wrong notes, unfortunately, so I have the list in front of me this time. I'm just trying to pull all this stuff together. It's going to be a really cool thing, though, and we're trying to get people to come out there. We'd love to meet a lot of you guys, hang out with you guys. We're going to be speaking like at 4 o'clock on the 15th or something like that. The information, we actually have a link on the homepage right now for ghostlytalk.com, so you can go to that and get all the cool information for that stuff. It's going to be a really great thing. It's going to be a total shindig. I can't wait for it myself. I have to book the hotel rooms this week, actually. I'm looking forward to that. See how much that's going to cost us. But it should be a really good time for all. Definitely check that out. Now, I want to get to this really quick because we usually, this time of year, it's time to start bringing our field reporters back on. Keith, you're fully aware of this stuff. So, basically, the weather's starting to break in a lot of areas of the country now. It's starting to get a little bit warmer. So that means that people are starting to go out and start doing some more work. And that's where the Ghostly Talk field reporters come into play. We're trying to, you know, what we try to do with the show, obviously, is we leave it pretty much wide open now. And if a field reporter wants to come on the show and talk about some stuff, we definitely just, hey, come on out and we'll talk about what you want to talk about. So what happened this week was the mighty, I have to say the mighty, the how would you, I mean, what words can we use for this, Keith? What words can we use for this gentleman who's waiting on the phone ever so patiently, I might add?
Exceptional.
The exceptional. You say exceptionally or exceptional?
Either or really sounds nice.
The exceptional. We'll use the exceptional. The mighty, my favorite field reporter, by the name of Marcus Leader, is waiting patiently on the line with some new developments with his group, which is the Leader Research Group. Marcus, are you there?
I'm here.
Oh, cool. Hey, welcome to the show, Marcus. It's really cool.
Thank you.
thanks for, you know, we love having you on the show. I think right now, I was thinking about this actually today, Marcus. I think you might be running up against Vance West for being, for having the most, like, appearances on Ghostly Talk now. I'm going to have I'm going to have to tally the numbers up, I think, and find out, you know, who's actually been on more. I don't know who it is exactly now. But you said there's some stuff going on with, in your neck of the woods right now. What's happening?
Yeah, there's a couple interesting developments, and I wanted to thank you for having me on the show again today. I didn't really expect to be on again so soon. But,
it's our pleasure.
I did make a surprising discovery, and I thought it would be very interesting to the Ghostly Talk crew and the listeners. As you know, there are a variety of useful tools available to paranormal investigators, you know, such as cameras and EMF meters and recorders, that type of stuff. But one of the most important tools is the human mind.
Mm-hmm.
And this is why I always tell people when they enter an investigation, enter it first with your mind. Let your feelings and sensations guide you, and then validate it with the technological tools.
Mm-hmm.
And the only thing more useful to bring on an investigation than you know, your mind and everything is someone like a psychic or a clairvoyant, which is nothing more than a person who has, for whatever reason, they have different abilities to detect very minute levels of subtle energy. The problem is finding a person like this. And I've known, you know, several psychics with varying degrees of abilities, but I've only encountered two that are what I would consider the real deal, meaning they have relatively clear and consistent vision.
Mm-hmm.
And I've recently discovered a third one. And after 2 weeks of testing, I've come to the conclusion that this person has very real clairvoyant abilities, and I've invited him to be a distant member of the leader research team.
Mm-hmm.
And he's going to assist us in different field events if he can make it to them. It's across the country, so it's kind of hard.
Mm-hmm.
And the ones that he can't, what we're going to do is a new technique where we connect with cell phone, and through his mind's eye, he will give us pointers to the area that we're in, you know, suggestions based on what he sees.
Okay.
Now, the reason that, you know, I'm bringing it up on Ghostly Talk is because he's associated with Ghostly Talk.
Oh,
often
really?
People, you know, with these kind of gifts or abilities are reluctant to tell others in fear of ridicule or non-belief, or they really don't know how to go about telling them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it goes like something like, you know, man, I can see dead people. And then you say, yeah, right.
I found that the more people I hear that from, the least likely it is to really happen. Right. I'm not knocking psychics or anything like that for, you know, any of the people that are sensitive out there, truly sensitive. But there seems to be a real upsurge, Marcus, and tell me what you think about this. There seems to be a real upsurge. It seems like everywhere I go, you know, we mention what we do, that we, you know, we're paranormal investigators. People are like, well, I have senses too, or I have a friend who has senses. And I mean, I'm not, you know, I mean, in my heart, it's like, really, I want to know what you, I want to hear what you have to say. But some people, I think a lot of it, like we've been talking about it the last couple of weeks, it's been kind of this reoccurring motif, I think, is that a lot of people, we've been talking about the mind a lot and a lot of the psychology that goes into paranormal investigations and psychosis and mass hysteria and how it plays into this sort of thing. It's something that, you know, I think there's a lot of groups out there, especially with the guest that we have coming up tonight, Marcus, Kay Owen from a site. They're a very, very, like, you know, this is a black and white type ghost hunting outfit. That's why I wanted to have them come on, because they're very black and white, and they're not afraid to tell somebody that their house is not haunted.
Oh, yeah. That's good.
You know what I'm saying? So.
Yeah, you see a lot of them these days that no matter where they go, they can go in a brand new house no one's ever lived in, and it's going to be haunted.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Well, yeah, I mean, and there is the idea, like, okay, well, we built this brand new house. That's fine, you know, stuff like that, whatever. And, I mean, we both know, Marcus, that what we're dealing with here, we really, and I mean, I'll say it again. I say it all the time, but it's a message I want to drive to people, that studying the paranormal is the only field you can really get into where you can claim to be an expert and still not know anything at all. It's probably the truest thing I think I've ever heard since I've been studying this sort of stuff. There's a lot of ideas, like you just mentioned, kind of like the idea of like a brand new house. yeah, okay, fine. You know, it's a brand new house, therefore it shouldn't be, you know, it shouldn't seem to be haunted. I mean, when you think of a haunted house, you think of this older Victorian-style home.
Scary old dusty.
Yeah, dark. Yeah, man, exactly. You're right. You don't think of, like, a brand new home, you know, with the whirlpool in the back and all that stuff. You don't think about that being haunted. But maybe the land's haunted. Who knows? There's ideas behind that.
Yeah, or the people living there, too.
Yeah, exactly. There you go. I mean, there's all types of different ideas about that.
Yeah, that's very true. I think, you know, when it comes to psychics and clairvoyants, I think a lot of them, you know, are legitimate. What I've noticed, you know, over the last 30 years is that there's different degrees of ability that people have.
Yes.
And I think everybody has the ability to start with.
Oh, yeah, totally.
It's just a matter of opening up your senses. You know, recognizing the messages your body's telling you, and some people that are born with it, you know, they call them gifted, but they're just more in tune with the energies, you know, in their own bodies and outside their bodies.
Mm-hmm.
But I think a lot of people, like you say, you know, they'll either know somebody that's a sensitive or psychic, or they, you know, they can, you know, read thoughts, or you know, they know who's on the phone. That's a real common thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But you run into that a lot more and more now, especially as the paranormal is becoming more and more popular.
Well, yeah, and I mean, I've had episodes of that, Marcus. I'm sure you have had too.
Oh yeah.
Where I've thought about someone, and then like 2 minutes later, the phone rings, and it's that person. Where I thought about that person, and then just miraculously, I was over shopping at wherever, and I just happened to bump into this person in the grocery in the meat aisle at the grocery store or something like that.
Yep. Almost a shade of collective consciousness.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that stuff happens a lot. And it, like you said, Marcus, it seems as the more popular the paranormal becomes as far as people becoming interested in it, the more you're going to see of this stuff, which I think is a very good thing. That's a totally great thing.
Yeah, there's definitely an upswing, too, in activity. I don't know if it's because people are becoming more aware and the fact that they're becoming more attuned, and it's part of, like Keith was just saying, the mass consciousness
mm-hmm.
manifesting more, or what the cause is, but it does seem to be an increase.
Yeah, definitely. I agree. I mean, with the increase in interest, there's the increase in awareness, and that's what I think we're looking for. That's the big
yep.
thing right there.
Yeah, that's exactly it.
So you say that you're working with someone else. I don't think – it don't sound like we want to release their name right now. Am I correct, Marcus?
Yeah, we can release their name.
Okay, who is it?
Well, I first became aware of this individual's abilities a few weeks ago. In fact, it was Nicole, my daughter, who pointed it out to me. And so I contacted him and started talking with him and decided, you know, because I've had people tell me these things, that they can do this or that.
Uh-huh.
And so I have a series of tests that I started putting him through. For the last 2 weeks, and he passed with flying colors. In fact, he's one of the most accurate results that I've ever seen on a clairvoyant test.
Oh, wow, okay.
And the reason they wanted to announce on the show is because he's one of Ghostly Talk's own. He's known as Havoc, a.k.a. Elmer.
Okay, now...
Talk News Manager.
Yeah, you know what, and I'm glad you mentioned his name, because I really wanted to throw that out this week, too, concerning Elmer. A lot of people, with the new site, we're still working on all this stuff, so it's kind of hard to, like, really, you know, put names up on stuff, and we're just trying to figure out how the software works still. And I wanted to throw, you know, Havoc, a.k.a. Elmer's name out there, because he is our news guy. He's the guy that, you know, the majority of the news articles you see being posted up, Elmer's out there combing around all over the place trying to find interesting stuff for people to read. Just a little extra thing you can go to our site for. And Elmer's always out there doing that, and he's always just saying, hey, what do you think about this? And we're like, oh, that's great. Put it up, man. Put it up. He's going to actually be at our anniversary party next week.
That's cool.
He's coming to hang out. So you know, it's a real surprise because he didn't even really mention this to me.
No, he's not really, like I say, you know, he's kind of reluctant. You know, people, a lot of times I've found that with clairvoyance, either they're going to boast it to everybody,
yeah,
you know, or they're going to just keep it quiet.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, some of the tests that I put him through, the first test I put him through is I took a table inside my lab here in my office lab area,
mm-hmm.
and I cleaned it all off and I put objects on the table,
mm-hmm.
and then I asked him to, you know, the object was for him to, you know, tune in on this area and then to tell me what objects were sitting on the table.
Yeah.
And he passed, he got three of them, you know, out of four objects, he got three of them dead on.
Mm-hmm.
Which, if you got one on this type of test, you know, just a total blind test like this.
Well, yeah.
Get one, it's considered significant results. He got three. And the one that he missed was a control object that I put in. It's called a Richfield telescope.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really odd looking. It looks like a giant red ball with a tube sticking out of it. And it's not something that most people have ever seen before. And that was the purpose for putting it in, because I've also found that clairvoyants, if they haven't seen something before in their mind, they can't actually see it, you know, in visions.
Mm-hmm.
And he couldn't pick up on it. It was totally invisible, and it was the biggest, brightest object on the table.
That sounds like remote viewing.
What is that? What is that, Keith?
I said that sounds a lot like remote viewing.
Yeah.
Remote
viewing and clairvoyance are closely tied.
Well, yeah, you know, we mentioned Vance earlier, who I actually talked to today for a little while. But that's one thing that Vance, you know, with the open remote viewing projects we do, on the show, you know, on the show now we've been doing for the last couple of years with Vance. That's one of the things. That's the reason we call it the Open Remote Viewing Project. And I found when I first was exposed to remote viewing, I thought it was some standardized, some different type of practice that you use to access information, right? And Vance really, when he brought this to us and said, look, you know, this isn't just, you know, like Vance refers to, I love saying it, you know, this isn't basically like, you know, phasing out and drooling all over yourself and then getting information or something like that. There's all types of different ways that you can remote view. So I find, you know, like you just said, Marcus, there is this idea where, like you just said, Keith, I mean, that may be another form of remote viewing. That's just, unfortunately, with all the gray areas we're dealing with here. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's really, I had no idea. I actually just talked to Havoc last night for a couple of minutes.
He was reluctant to, he didn't know how, I think, to approach the subject because, you know, they're just, you know, afraid of being not believed or, you know, showing proof. And it's kind of hard to show proof to somebody.
Mm-hmm.
But, like I say, the series of tests that I put him through, one of it's actually kind of funny. When I was setting this test up, I was choosing objects to put on the table, and I emailed him and told him to get ready for the test, to prepare whatever he needs to do.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm choosing objects, and I grabbed, you know, I figured I'd catch him on one. And I grabbed a DVD movie off the shelf,
mm-hmm.
and it was one that was kind of like soft porn. Not that I watch it, I just get it for the collector's value.
We're all collectors, I know.
Okay. But, so I'm sitting there getting ready to put it on the table, and my notification goes off. I got an email, so I went over and looked, and it was Elmer, and he said he's all set. He's got his milk and popcorn. Then he says, by the way, can I borrow the Bear Winch project?
Oh, the Bear Winch.
He was holding in my hand.
He said that for real?
Yeah, he typed it, and I didn't tell him right then I was holding it, because you know, it was the exact movie, the Bear Winch project.
Uh-huh.
And so I, you know, I was holding it, and I looked at it, almost dropped the movie, and my jaw hit the ground.
Wow.
So then I went over and they blew that, so I had to go put that back.
And
I got a book instead.
I
figure I'd catch him on that one.
Yeah. Well, that's a pretty obscure item, though, Marcus.
So tell me about it. He passed the test before the test started.
Because I can honestly say, I mean, I don't know, well, I don't really know anybody else who has that film, to be honest. Until now, I mean, I won't lie, and this is probably going to be vindicated by the whole audience, but I have heard of that film before. I've heard of it too. It's a funny title. It's almost as good as the Home Alone version of, like, you know, the adult version of Home Alone, which I saw that cover, and it was called Boned Alone and all that stuff, right? So
Foreskin right. Gump.
Oh, that's a good one too. All right.
That one always sticks in my head.
Enough of this stuff. We're going to get in trouble.
I thought it was a different movie I was buying, you know. That's what I told my wife.
Well, what, I mean, was it, you said he also, he picked out three out of the four objects, right?
Yeah, he picked out, I have about a 40-year-old bottle of wine that was a gift from Sylvester Stallone back when I lived in California.
Okay.
And he picked that out. He didn't know it was signed by him, but he picked out the bottle of wine.
Mm-hmm.
He picked out a book. And he picked out, I had a spectralite geode, a round rock with sky blue crystals in it.
Oh, okay.
And he didn't identify it as a geode, but he identified it as a small round ball.
Okay.
Ball.
He was able to describe it then, more or less.
That's really incredible.
That really is. That's something, I mean, like I said, I'm, and, you know, Elmer's probably like, oh, you're a jerk, but I didn't expect that to be that person. I know,
it blew me away.
it's really amazing. I mean, so you guys are more or less going to be doing work together from across the country, it sounds like. That's just
it's, you know, because there's not too much, you know, we're going to be able to do. I'm trying to get back there sometime this year. In fact, Nicole and I are planning on coming to the Mothman Festival this year.
You know, she mentioned that, and that's going to be very cool. We're all looking to go down there and hang out this year, so I'm really looking forward to that.
Yeah, in fact, I'm going to be on my show, The Shaman's Brew.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to be moving a spinoff from that to a full hour, once a week show.
Okay.
And at the Mothman Festival, I think, is going to be the first video that I do. I'm going to put video up on the show for that particular show.
Excellent. Well, that sounds very cool. You're taking the Shaman's Brew to once a week now, then, huh?
Yeah, it will go up weekly. It's only monthly now on another radio show, but I'm going to, you'll still do that, but I'm going to have a spinoff too, where it's just, you know, strictly, you know, that show, The Shaman's Brew.
Well, I'm totally psyched to hear that, Marcus, because I mean, that's how we kind of met you originally back in the guy, what, like 400 years ago or something like that.
It
was a very long time ago, and I don't know how we met, digitally handshaked or something like that. I don't know.
The Pony Express writer wrote up.
He said, "I have a message for you, Scott." And I'm like, okay, so yeah, and then said, "Hello, my name is Marcus Leader. I do a show called The Shaman's Brew, but I've had the pleasure of listening to a number of shows that you've done, and it's absolutely a brilliant show. So I'm really happy to see you're going to be going to once a week thing now."
Yep, thank you.
It'll be very cool. I'm looking totally forward to that. So you basically sorry.
Oh no, it's okay. With Elmer, we got off the track a little bit there.
Yeah,
but,
sorry.
Well, that's okay. That's my fault. I derail myself all the time. But with Elmer, we're not going to be able to do too much in the field unless he comes there or we go there.
Mm-hmm.
But we'll be doing it via cell phone. And I even I tested him out on that, just this last couple of weeks to see how it worked. And last time I was on, you heard the voice that was saying, whatever you're doing.
Oh, yeah.
On the transdimensional receiver.
Yes.
And the room that I'm in used to be, I'm in the lower basement of the house, and my son used to be down here when he was in high school. And, you know, after we moved in here, the first thing he told me is there's a dead Indian in his room. Mm-hmm. And I said, yeah, right. And, so anyway, he's a little sensitive, too. He can pick up on things.
Mm-hmm.
And he used to always tell me about this, you know, dead Indian. I just didn't know what he was smoking. I could never perceive anything. And then Nicole and him were in the basement one time, and they started using a Ouija board, which I don't have anything against as long as they use it responsibly and use protection on it.
Mm-hmm.
And they were picking up on this guy talking to him. And they kept telling me the guy's lying to him. He's an Indian, but he's lying, saying he's a bunch of other people. So anyway, I ask Elmer to focus on the room here and to see if there's anything in here. And I know there is because, you know, at night when I'm working with just the monitor, you know, glowing and no lights in the room, I see stuff moving in the corner of my eyes. And anyway, he focused in and he said there is what seems, he doesn't see the person necessarily as a vision. It's like he knows it's there. And he says it seems like a Native American, and he said that he keeps looking at my whiteboard. I have a 6-foot by 4-foot whiteboard that I work all my equations and everything out on.
Mm-hmm.
And he says he's trying to figure out what it is, you know, what I'm doing. And he says he looks confused. And then he said something else that blew me away is that he said that he doesn't mind me being there. You know, and by that it means that that entity knows that Elmer's looking at him. And that's something that really strong clairvoyants have the ability to do. It's like being in the darkness and shining a light over to like a spirit or a person. Mm. They know that you're there, you know, observing them at the time. And he seems to be able to communicate. Now, I have no way to validate any of that, you know, not until I get this machine cranked up again. But that's kind of the line that we'll be working with, doing experiments with. I've got a waterfall I'm going to here in probably about 2 weeks, and an old Indian burial ground that I'm going to probably in about a month.
Okay.
And I'll be taking them, you know, my cell phone on those investigations also.
Well, we only got a couple more minutes, Marcus, but I wanted to ask you about something also. You were talking about the EVP that that we played. I wasn't here for that show. I was out that day, sick as a dog. But it was a show we had a couple weeks ago with you and Mr. Mark Macy. We decided to have you guys get together on the air and go back and forth. And we actually, you sent us that EVP from the transdimensional receiver that you built. For the listeners out there, go to our photo section, go to our field reporter section, and there's a folder in there called the Gadgets of Marcus Leader or something like that. And if you want to see pictures of this piece of equipment that we're talking about. Also, if you go to the archive section from that show, it's just a few weeks back from this show. There's an action, the EVP we're referring to is actually up there for download for that next to the archive also. We got an email. Well, I got an email, and I sent it over to you too, Marcus.
Yeah.
From a listener. I can't remember the name right now. But he, the poor guy, was freaking out because he firmly believes that if I'm trying to get my name straightened out here, I'm pretty sure I'm right here. He thinks that voice that came through was actually the voice of George Meeks, who worked on the Spiricom project. He was one of the people that worked on the Spiricom project, who was the person that actually had a communication with Dr. Mueller, who was the voice on the Spiricom. He said that voice sounds pretty familiar. And I know I forwarded the email to you.
Yeah.
I was curious about your thoughts on that, more or less, Marcus.
That would really be something if it was.
Well, yeah.
That a researcher, you know, died and then came back, you know, to continue the project. But I haven't listened to the two voices side by side yet.
Yeah.
I've been meaning to do that, but you know, on a digital display, so I can kind of compare them.
Mm-hmm.
But from what I heard, there's a different accent, but the voice is real close. So I know what he's talking about. I don't have any reason to believe it is, you know, George Meeks, but
mm-hmm.
but you know, it definitely is something I'm going to be looking into more.
Well, I thought it was an interesting email, if
anything. Yeah, that's not one you get every day.
Yeah, and I had to get that over to you, like, right away.
Yeah, it was from somebody in Utah, I think.
Yeah, I'm totally, he's probably, it's me, but I can't remember right now. It was an interesting idea, and, I mean, you know, and this is another example, though, of how we contaminate evidence if we're not careful. After I got that email, I went back and listened to it, right? And I just called back from my mental microfiche, like, you know, that voice does kind of sound like George Meeks a little bit. I mean, as far as inflection,
it has the quality.
It has the quality. Who knows, though? I mean, again, that's a problem with that, is we can't verify that 100%. There's really no way to do that right now.
Yeah, and I don't like to jump to conclusions like that without... Yeah, we can put it up there as a possibility, but without any validation, it's a stretch going out there.
Well, here's something we can do concerning that. Just for giggles on this, more or less, you can download the Spiricom tapes from Ghostly Talk. Also, Mark Macy was nice enough to let us put the tapes up on our site for download. You know, our archives page has gotten so big now. What I tell people to do now is go to the archives page. Push Control F on your keyboard and type in like Spiricom, right? And then you should take you right there. Download that. Then download Marcus's EVP and kind of maybe go back and forth. I'm curious to see what people think about that also. So, and,
yeah, I would be too.
Yeah, do that. And what I would say is, you know, either send me an email, scottl@ghostlytalk.com, or send Marcus an email. We have you set up on the Ghostly Talk server also. So it's marcus@ghostlytalk.com, right?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, Marcus, it goes. Send one of us an email. We're both really curious to hear about that. Unfortunately, Marcus, we got to fly, man.
Hey, no problem. It was a pleasure being on again.
Yeah, thanks for coming on, Marcus. We always love having you on, and, you know, I'm sure I'll talk to you, like, tomorrow or something. We talk every day, so.
Oh, yeah.
We're always hanging out.
If anybody out there needs, you know, a clairvoyant on their ghost hunt, you know, they might want to, if they're near Elmer, they might want to give him a call or email him and see if he's be willing to help him out.
For sure, definitely. I forgot his email. I totally forgot.
I think it's Havoc at ghostlytalk.com.
I believe it is Havoc with a C. Havoc, H-A-V-O-C at ghostlytalk.com. I can't remember any of this stuff anymore. Tell you what, we got to go to break, though, Marcus. Hang on the line, though. Guys, this is Ghostly Talk. I'm Scott L.
I'm Keith.
This is is working out really well. Thanks, Keith.
Yeah, that's all right.
We'll be
a big mouth.
We'll be right back in a second.
Business as usual in the apocalypse, and business is good. I'm Clyde Lewis, and you're listening to Ghostly Talk.
You won't play. Until now, you can visit me online at www.ufoguide.com. It's ufoguide.com. But only when you're not listening to Ghost Talk, which you should always be listening to.
All right. This is Ghostly Talk. I'm Scott L.
I'm Keith.
And we are back. We're back again for another, I don't know what we're going to do here. We have, you know, it's been getting kind of crazy around here. You know what? Somebody mentioned in the chat room also. I think it was, yeah, Laura from the chat room. You know, this is something people don't know about me, and maybe it's coming out more this week, but I do actually have a lisp to my voice. I've had a lisp to my voice ever since I can remember. I think I've gotten better with it. Over the years of doing Ghostly Talk, but I thought it was kind of funny that I just happened to see that. I do actually have a lisp, so deal with it, more or less. Now, Keith don't have a lisp, I don't think. Do you have a lisp?
No, actually, not that I know of.
You have a better voice. You have a better radio voice, I think, than any of the hosts here at Ghostly Talk, dude.
I don't know about that. Just low. Most people with lisps, though, don't usually notice it, so I'm impressed that you know it, but unless someone said something to you about it.
What I've been told, actually, is that the doctor actually told me this, and this might give me more dates. I was actually told that I have an enlarged tongue.
All right.
That's what I was told when I was younger, is that I have an enlarged tongue. So, you know, I don't know. Take it for what it is. I don't know, but I do actually have a lisp. I just want to get that piece of very important paranormal information out there. I think that's very important to the paranormal community. Meanwhile, though, I wanted to introduce our guests for the next hour. I'm going to try to, you see, we like to slaughter bios here, as you all know out there. So I'm going to try to do this. I'm going to try to slaughter this bio, too. The Wisconsin-Illinois Paranormal Society was formed to address a growing interest in the local area regarding hauntings and other paranormal occurrences. Their hope is to prove and disprove hauntings by using both sensitive and scientific methods. Focus will be made in the history of allegedly haunted locations in order to base their investigations in fact. So I'd like to welcome Erica Behringer and Chris Behringer to the show. How you guys doing?
Hi, we're good.
Can you guys hear us okay?
Yes.
Cool. All right. Now, you know, you guys, how long have you guys been around, actually?
We just formed in August of 2005, so we're relatively new as a group.
You're a newer group. Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Obviously, I just read, you know, kind of like, you know, what the group's all about and stuff like that. What I always like to ask people, which I think is a really important question, is like, what sparked your interest to go this far, to actually put together an organization to study and research the paranormal?
Honestly, I've always been interested in the phenomenon as long as I can remember, but I wasn't able to find any groups in the area to join myself, and I knew several people that were interested in it as well, so I wanted to get, you know, my own group started. So basically, I posted a website up on the internet and got pretty much 1,000 hits within the first few days, so I knew there was an interest in the area.
Well, I know I found you guys, actually, because we have one of those MySpace account thingies now that
Right. Seems
like everybody under the age of 25 has, you know?
Yeah, pretty much.
I think the whole country under the age of 25 with swishy hair, like that swooped hair thing, you know? They listen to, like, emo bands and stuff. They all have a MySpace account. But what I've been finding, which I think is very cool, is that a lot of paranormal groups, tons of paranormal groups, are registering accounts on MySpace also. And I found, you know, are you guys familiar with MyParaspace.com?
Yeah, we just added ourselves on there as well.
Yeah, an excellent tool that Steve put together over there. We actually had him on a couple weeks ago. Wonderful tool for the paranormal community. And that thing's picking up in leaps and bounds. You know, we're 100% behind Steve and his project there. But MySpace, the other site, MySpace, the big one, the huge one we know about, that's where everybody seems to be flocking to right now. And I've found that it's a wonderful place to go and meet up with other people, you know, along with MyParaspace.com, to find out these things. That's how I found you guys, as a matter of fact, like I said.
Yeah, we've met a few groups through MySpace, and I've met up with a couple different members of different teams. So it's a good networking tool. It really is.
Well, yeah, and that's what this thing, you know, Doug's actually the one who phrased this term. It's social networking to a certain extent.
Yeah.
You know, I don't really, you know, this is a social thing, I guess, sort of.
Good analogy.
Yeah, it's a good analogy. It's social networking, but, you know, what we're doing here, obviously, is there's other goals. Well, I don't know what, every group has their own goals as far as, you know, what they want to accomplish studying the paranormal and stuff like that. But it's very cool to see all these groups. Every day it seems like a new group is adding us, you know, to the Ghostly Talks, the Ghostly Talk MySpace page, and I'm really happy to see that. So, you know, what, like I said, I was asking before, though, you know, you started, you couldn't really find any groups on your own, it sounds like, so you just decided to start your own.
out of obligation, I felt like I had to start something.
How many members are, how many people do you have in the group now?
We have about 20 active members that are, you know, active all the time and, you know, are pretty religious to it.
Mm-hmm.
We have probably about 50 total, though.
Mm-hmm. And those are just, you have like those shadow members type things, something
right,
like that?
Right, hobbyists, you know.
They just kind of check it out. The people, they're not lifers like the rest of us are, it sounds
like.
Yeah.
Right. We got it bad.
Well, and that's the thing, you know, people, there's a lot of people, it's something we run into a lot on the show here, talking to all types of people. A lot of people, a lot of people obviously are seeing the show Ghost Hunters on Sci-Fi now.
Right.
And that's a very cool show. I love this show. It's a, you know, Jay and Grant are really cool guys too, and a lot of people are inspired from that show to like
sure.
to check this stuff out. But the problem I think that a lot of people run into is that they go on their first investigation, they go to some place that's supposedly haunted, and you know a demon doesn't come after them and try to, you know, hit them with his pitchfork or whatever, or they don't trip and fall into a portal of hell or anything like that. It's generally pretty quiet. I'm not going to make any assumptions here. Do you guys happen to find the same thing? Where, hey, you go on an investigation,
oh, yeah,
you know.
It can be pretty boring. Sit in vigil for hours and nothing will happen.
Yeah, completely. I mean, on an average, I'm just curious, like how long do you guys usually spend in an area when you go to investigate an area?
It depends on how big the size of the place is. Usually in a home, we spend at tops 4 to 6 hours.
Mm-hmm.
Because you'll see if there's anything going on in that amount of time.
Mm-hmm.
And if it warrants a trip back, we'll definitely come back.
Yeah. I mean, you said you guys are basically, this is, where are you guys located more or less? You're in the Wisconsin, you call yourself the Wisconsin Illinois Paranormal Society.
Right, we're right on the border. We're about an hour north of Chicago,
mm-hmm.
but we're probably closer to the Wisconsin border, probably about a half hour to the Wisconsin border.
Right, and I'm in Harvard, so I'm 4 miles from the Wisconsin border.
Oh, wow. You're in Harvard?
Right.
That must be a fun place to live. Chris, I got a question for you, actually. I was reading, you know, going through your guys' stuff, and I was reading, you know, just getting information on you guys. And I noticed that you are a level 2 Reiki practitioner.
Yes.
You know what? I've heard that term bounced around so much, but I'm really interested in finding out exactly what you do as a Reiki practitioner, or a level 2 Reiki practitioner, as far
well,
as
not
how
as
it applies.
Much as a master does. I haven't done nearly as much practice as a master, and I haven't taken the third attunement, so to speak. So really, it's just the learning process of Reiki in general. I've gone through the first 2 attunements and learning processes, and I haven't gone through the third and final one.
Okay. And Reiki itself, I just want to get this out to the listeners. What is Reiki? I mean, this is a huge question, I know. I mean, as far as high-level things go, I just want people to be exposed to this if possible. You know, what is the system of beliefs as far as Reiki is concerned?
You can have any system of belief. It's basically taking universal energy and focusing it towards the person or object that needs healing.
Mm-hmm. So you're more or less, like you said, you're directing energy. It's a healing process we're talking about, more or less. Am I correct?
Exactly, yes.
So your job, you know, as far as the application, as far as a paranormal, as far as an investigation would go, as far as you got the work you would do with WIPS, is if you go to an area, if someone needs to be, as I've worked with psychics, a lot of psychics, obviously, and I've been through sessions with psychics where they actually try to lead someone, and this is going to be a very cliche term, but they would try to direct someone towards the light, so to say. You following me?
So much that as a cleansing of the home to, you know, purify the energy there. If it's a negative energy, making it a more positive place.
Okay, so you're cleansing. Okay, as far as cleansing goes, see, there's a lot of people out there. You know, there's certain people that believe things, and I found that there are some certain people out there that when they go to a haunted area, they automatically assume that everything is a demon. Are you following me?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, that's totally cool. I mean, that's just another way of looking at it, and I respect that. I'm wondering, is this kind of the approach you guys, I mean, have you guys run into a lot of situations where it does seem like there's a negative kind of environment there where you kind of feel this, you have a feeling of stress or a negative energy there?
There have been locations, usually on the whole it's not that way, but there have been some locations, like we just visited an old asylum that had been abandoned, and that definitely had a negative feeling in it, especially in certain areas where, you know, treatments would take place and, you know, murders had taken place. You can definitely feel that, for sure.
We've been to asylums. We've been to a couple of asylums ourselves, actually. And those places are, I mean, it's obvious that they're not always the most positive place. Well, you know, it's ironic for a place of healing where you'd have so much pain and torture, it seems.
Right. There definitely was.
We've heard stories upon stories. There's one I would like to relay to you guys. We actually went to this one asylum here around here somewhere. I can't release that, but we brought one of our resident psychics with us, and we were actually, you know, like any good ghost hunter, where's the first place you want to go to in any building if it's there? Well, you want to go to the morgue, right? Because we're creepy ghost hunter people, so you know there's this motif where we're all obsessed with death, but no, you're trying to find out other things. We went to the morgue area, and the psychic we had with us, the sensitive we had with us, sat down for a minute, kind of did her thing, and told us a story of what happened. Basically, what went down was there was a little girl who was a mute. She could not speak or anything like that. She had mental problems where she would not speak. And apparently, some of the orderlies, is that what you call them, Keith? Like,
yes.
The orderlies there. This little girl caught them doing something they shouldn't have been doing. Now, we really couldn't find out what they were doing. It was obviously something not good. This little girl saw them, and they knew already that she was a mute, she wouldn't talk. But just to make sure she would not talk, they used to take her and put her in the body trays, in the drawer things, and they'd put her in the trays, and then they would shut the door and just see how long she'd go if she would actually start talking, start screaming or something like this. And apparently they did this to her for years.
That sounds perfectly normal.
Well, they're
perfectly fine.
Yeah, that's absolutely. I do that all the time. I do that all the time, right? Obviously, a situation like that, if you believe in psychic impressions and things like that, that's going to leave a hell of a psychic impression on an area.
Yeah, we were actually just discussing where we were at in... It was a asylum in Illinois. It is still one of the biggest to this day in the country.
Mm-hmm.
There had been a nurse that had been brutally raped and tortured by a couple of the patients there.
Oh, God.
And was brutalized with a broom handle.
Oh, my God.
And her entrails were spread down the entire hallway of this hospital. And it was amazing because none of the crew knew that story when we arrived at the location,
mm-hmm.
yet every single one of them seemed to have the problem right by this closet where the actual event occurred.
They had a problem. What problems were you referring to?
They were feeling uneasy, tense, did not want to go in there.
Nauseated.
Even myself, I did not want to go in that closet.
You just said they were getting a feeling of uneasiness, tenseness, tension of some sorts?
Could not be in that area, yeah.
And was this more or less the story that you guys heard? Was this the story that has this been documented? I'm just curious.
It has been documented, yes.
That's pretty sick.
Very sick.
I mean,
and there are many more events like that on file for this hospital. Unfortunately, most of the buildings for it have been torn down, so we could not visit them.
Mm-hmm.
But this is one of the few standing buildings left, and that's part of what we got to witness.
However, there are homes that have recently been built on that property, and residents are now complaining of paranormal activities in their house.
Oh, what sort of things did they tell you?
Well, things moving, voices, you know, the normal things that you have happen in hauntings.
Mm-hmm. And he said
it's interesting.
Well, it's interesting you guys mentioned that because, you know, the last half hour we had our buddy Marcus on, and we were talking about stuff like that as far as, like, sensitives and whatnot. And you're saying now that... This, you said some of the buildings on this property have been torn down, and now they're putting houses up there.
Business is going up. There's a bank there.
Well, it's interesting because, like I said, just like the last half an hour ago, we mentioned, like, you know, there's people that, you know, they're finding, you know, activity in brand new houses.
Right, and they are. they're brand new.
Well, yeah, and there's this idea, like we said a little while ago, Keith and I were discussing this, like, you know, when you think of a haunted house, like haunted house, a haunted, you know, scary haunted house, you're thinking of like, you know, an old Victorian style home with like 800 rooms and 40 bathrooms and stuff
broken
like that.
Broken shutters.
Yeah, broken shutters. That's what you picture in your mind. And that's obviously a direct result of Hollywood. That's the impression they've left on us. But then this is just another thing to kind of back that up, that, you know, it may have to do with just the environment, the area you're in, not the home itself.
Right. The energy can imprint itself on the land or, you know, the area around.
Well, yeah. We found that, you know, if you go to Gettysburg, for example,
exactly.
There's a high concentration of granite there. As far as the stone, the native stone, lots of granite. And that's just another idea, like, okay, well, you have like 4 billion people being slaughtered every day here, right?
Right.
And then you have these type of stones, such as granite, and they may be a very good psychic sponge, so to say. And that may be what's going on in that area, too, which could explain why these brand-new businesses, buildings, houses, whatnot, they're experiencing paranormal activity there.
And it's funny that you mentioned the stones soaking up that energy. We've been down to Alton, Illinois, several times. Have you ever heard of Alton?
I've heard the name, but I haven't really heard any stories from there. What's going on?
It's a good place to go if you're looking for hauntings. It's way southern Illinois, right across from St. Louis, Missouri, right across the river. The story is there. The old prison built for the Civil War contained way too many inmates in each cell. There was probably about 10 inmates. You know, in a 10 by 10 cell.
Oh, God.
And, you know, they're all crowded in these tiny conditions, and, you know, diseases took over, and deaths, and, you know, murders took place. And it all imprinted into this old prison, which was built of limestone from the quarries around St. Louis.
Mm-hmm.
And after the prison was torn down, pretty much all of Alton was built with these stones from the prison.
Okay.
Foundations for homes. You'll see them across the walkways there and the streets. And it's amazing because just about every house in that small little town has a haunting.
Mm-hmm.
And they all report prisoners and, you know, exactly what you would see in that prison. It doesn't relate to the house itself, but rather the bricks that it was built with.
Well, yeah, and that's another way to look at it. Chris, do you have something to say? I'm sorry.
No, pretty much Erica covered what I was going to just say.
Well, that's another example. Our buddy John Zappas, who came on the show last summer, he has his museum. I'm sure you guys have heard of John Zappas. He has his haunted paranormal museum, which is a lot of just articles that are reportedly haunted. Okay, which is why I'm scared to death to go to any antique store now and buy stuff. I used to love to go to antique shops and find cool stuff and whatnot. Actually, I have a light bright sitting in my room. Remember the light bright? Okay, I have a light bright sitting. Hey, $5, you couldn't beat it. It was still in the still in the box, still wrapped and all that stuff. I haven't even opened it yet, to tell you the truth. But you know, I think the chances of a light bright being haunted.
You wake up some morning, there's some kind of scary message.
it's been taken out of the box, and something, you know, something.
I'm watching.
Yeah, he dies, you know, death, whatever, pentagram on there or something. I don't know. I think the chances of the light bright being haunted itself are pretty slim. Yeah. I don't know the material. Is plastic a good psychic sponge? That's a good question we can ask people.
It could be worse. It could be an easy bake.
The easy bake. Yeah, a haunted easy bake oven. I think that would really.
Who knows what they could have baked in there?
A haunted. No, here you go. This is. I want somebody to find one of these for me, too. A haunted Snoopy snow cone machine. Remember those things?
Hey, check eBay.
Check eBay. Yeah, there's got to be one up there. They'll sell anything on that site.
I always hear about Decatur, Illinois, as being a very concentrated haunting, you know, haunted area.
Have you guys had any experience there?
Oh, sure. Actually, we've gotten more evidence in Alton, Illinois. But, yeah, we've made several trips out to Decatur. We've stayed overnight in a couple of the theaters there.
Mm-hmm.
The Masonic Temple is one of the great places to stay.
You guys, have you guys actually stayed at the Masonic Temple there?
Yeah.
I want to get into that in the next half hour if we can a little bit. Is that cool? Because
sure.
When you said the word Mason, and now you just struck a chord in my heart.
Yeah.
We
got to
talk
I
about the Mason.
I got that same chord.
I saw a gleam in his eye.
I'm obsessed with the Masons.
There you go.
Fascinating. I
tell you, let's take a quick break, though. This is Ghostly Talk. We have the lovely ladies from the Wisconsin-Illinois Paranormal Society on right now with us. We're going to be talking more with them in the next half an hour. I'm Scott L.
I'm Keith.
This is Ghostly Talk. We'll be right back in a second.